Golden letters dangle inside a hanging mobile, which twirls around to spell the words Pathé. An auditorium in Paris is revealed in monochrome, 1959.
Continuing our evening of magic, the Royal Luxor is proud to present the film The Illusionist.
The screen curtains draw apart, jam, and close again, repeatedly.
Ladies and gentlemen, it appears there's a technical hitch. While we fix it, let me ask you to give a warm welcome once again to our friends, the magician.
Go on, fill in.
Yes.
What?
You're up again, my friend.
The tall figure of Tatishev, the magician, stoops into the spotlight, his limbs bursting out of his suit. Tatishev bows profusely to the audience and backs into a table with a hat on it. The battered old hat spits out two playing cards. Demonstrating to the audience that the hat is empty, he drops it to the floor and stamps it down flat. Retrieving the hat, he punches the top out again and rests it on the table. The magician delves inside the hat once more and grasps a pair of rabbit ears that he struggles with. Although the rabbit dangles impassively from his clutch, another animal underneath the top hat scurries off. Pathé presents a Diano Films production of an animated film based on an original screenplay by Jacques Tati. The names of other production companies are scattered amongst glimpses of the marquees and neon lights of Parisian music halls and theatres at night. Illusionist was adapted and directed by Sylvain Comet. Traffic passes by in the grey streets outside a lush Art Deco theatre, where the illusionist is performing his routine. A small band is on stage with Tatishev. They follow his sleight of hand and clumsy mishaps with indifference, anticipating his next trick with a lack of timing, as he conjures up a bunch of flowers. Tatishev takes a bow and the theatre curtains closes over his head. A short, boarding stage manager sets up for the next performer, leaving the illusionist to chase after the white rabbit that escapes from his top hat. One of the band members attempts to stroke the rabbit and startles it. It hops off with the illusionist in pursuit and hops back again towards the stage area where a tall, gaunt chanteuse in a black evening gown is preparing for the curtain to go up. As the curtain rises, the rabbit hops across her path. Backstage in his dressing room, Tatishev removes his makeup with a sponge and sighs wearily as he examines a photo next to his mirror. The stage manager arrives at the door. He holds out the rabbit struggling in a net on a pole for the illusionist to take back by its ears. Tatishev locks the rabbit securely into a cage. The stage manager is at the dressing room once more, this time with a live rat.
No.
Tatishev returns to the dressing room table. In the shadows of the corridor outside the dressing room, a stout man takes a final draw on a cigarette before crushing it underfoot. In daylight, Tatishev heads off to Calais by train with a light travel case and his rabbit. At Calais, he joins a ferry across the channel to Dover. arriving in the metropolis at dusk by steam train, he heads off with his belongings to London's Theatreland. In the manager's office of the Emporium Theatre, a coiffured elderly gentleman holds up the palms of his hands in a lax poise as the illusionist takes out a publicity poster for his act. The gentleman gasps with delight and puts it up in a display case at the entrance to the theatre, below one for pop sensations Billy Boy and the Bratoons. He steps back and sighs at the boys. On stage, the lead singer caresses the microphone like a swooning woman, and the audience of teeny boppers go crazy. Waiting in the wings, the illusionist makes the final preparations for his magic act. Alongside him, the stage manager is poised to operate the stage curtain. Tatishev completes his setup and lights himself a cigarette. He straightens his bow tie as the stage manager drops the curtain on the previous act. Tatishev heads on stage, but retreats as the band take an encore. The illusionist sets his props down again and waits in the wings. Big Ben chimes 9 o'clock at night as the band's encore draws to a close. Tatishev prepares himself once more and the stage manager stands by the curtain lever.
Thank you, darlings!
Woo! Tatishev steps awkwardly back off the stage. Billy Boy lies on the floor, propelling himself across the stage with his heels in an ecstatic performance. In the pouring rain outside, two sentinels are on duty on Horse Guards Parade. As the curtain falls, the band exit the stage. Tatishev takes his place centre stage and waits for the curtains to rise. A woman's there with her grandson, who's blowing bubblegum. But the rest of the audience have flocked round the backstage door to see the band depart. Although the young boy watches intently as Tatishev magics up a glass of wine from thin air, at the end of the trick, he nudges his grandmother for her attention, keen to share his understanding of how the illusion was executed. The next day, Tatishev retrieves his poster from the display board. Prima Donna performs on a stage in the grounds of a country estate. Tatishev waits for her to take her bow and exit. As she passes by, he moves forward to the performance area. An inebriated man in a kilt salutes the magician's arrival on stage.
Hi!
Hi there!
Tatishev produces an empty wine glass.
Hi!
And the Scotsman watches attentively as it becomes filled with wine, then multiplies into 2, 3, and more glasses in the illusionist's hands. Other guests at the reception talk in small groups and mill around the food tables, oblivious to the magic performance. The Scotsman staggers forward and hands Tatishev a card before losing his balance and tumbling over drunkenly.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Tattysheff takes an evening train heading north from King's Cross Station. Sharing a ferry across a loch with a herd of sheep. A veil of mist clears, revealing a snow-capped mountain overlooking a castle on the banks of the loch. He disembarks along with the sheep and is met by the same kilted Scotsman who's driving an open-top Edwardian cart. The two men drive off along a winding mountain pass in the rain. Highland cattle impede their way over a small stone bridge. Finally, the men take an outboard motorboat across a stretch of water to a row of houses where some children are playing outside an inn. They proceed inside, where the innkeeper greets the newcomer with suspicion. Tattysheff pulls out his publicity poster. Sighing with acknowledgement, the innkeeper attaches the poster to a dartboard, using the darts as pins.
Oh, poster! I can't hear.
They walk past a young girl who's scrubbing the floor and continue into the next room. Once alone, Alice gets up off her knees and examines the poster. A reel of electric cable tumbles down into the bar. At night, the inn is crowded out with folk who are dancing, drinking, and merrymaking. Alice swerves past the dancers and crosses the floor with a tray of beers to serve the guests who are seated around the room. Grey-haired old Scotsman summons an even more ancient, kilted man out from the crowd. While the man hobbles forwards, the grey-haired man fits a light bulb into a socket and nods for the oil lamps to be dimmed. The ancient man flicks the switch, and the room is illuminated again. The ancient man tests the lights again, but is escorted back to his seat for the performance to begin. Now the host brings forward the magician, who starts his act by drawing out a string of multicoloured light bulbs from his mouth. The act continues, with more lit bulbs being plucked out of the air. Alice watches in amazement as he produces a brightly glowing silk glove from nowhere. The illusionist's performance concludes, and he exits, leaving them to set up for the next act. Two men heave a brightly flashing jukebox into the room. The old Scotsman feeds the machine some coins and launches into a spirited rock and roll dance. Upstairs, away from the reverie, Alice is cleaning the floor with a bucket and mop. Tattysheff's door is ajar, and he notices the dwindling bar of soap as it accidentally sloshes past.
Dang it!
He picks it up, and with the wave of a hand, offers it back to Alice, magically transformed into a fresh bar of soap. She returns back downstairs to her younger brother, who is standing spellbound in the downstairs corridor, watching the proceedings in the bar. Alice takes him upstairs. Chef then performs a piece of magic for them by drawing a shiny new coin from the air. He presents it to the boy. He repeats the trick for Alice, who takes the money and backs out of the room. Dawn breaks over the small hamlet nestling on the coastline. High on the cliffs above, the Scotsman and Tatty Chef look out across the bay. Scotsman flings himself onto the soft grassy slope, laughing as he tumbles and rolls down the incline. Tatishev, in his rooms at the inn, performs another trick for Alice, producing a coin again from the air that she gratefully keeps.
Attendez. Regardez.
Alice sets about unpacking the crumpled clothes from his luggage.
No.
She moves about the room. She trips over the sole of her shoe, which flaps loose from its stitching. Downstairs, the innkeeper hands over a cash payment to Tatishev, and they shake hands. As Tatishev exits, the innkeeper gives him a hearty slap on the back. A shower of rain falls as Tatishev wanders down to the seafront. His eye is taken by a pair of bright red buckled shoes in a shop window. Later, at the hotel, Alice piles the magician's freshly laundered clothes onto his bed and goes over to the rabbit cage. She reaches out her hand towards it, and the animal snips at her. Outside the inn, a woman is stuffing a pillow with piles of white eiderdown, which is caught by a gust of wind. The feathers are blown high up into the air and flutter down like snowflakes. Alice notices the falling clouds of white and shivers. Then she crosses the room and lights the fire. Tatishev is still brushing away the feathers from his coat as he enters the room. Alice looks at him in surprise, but when she peers out the window again, the covering of feathers has already disappeared. Tatishev pulls out a large silk handkerchief and unveils the new shoes with a flourish of his hand.
Who's that?
She puts them on, and Tatishev retreats from the room, allowing her a moment of privacy. Retrieves her old shoes from the floor and holds them for a pensive moment before casting them into the fire. The next day, Tatishev is accompanied by his friend, the Scotsman, on the reverse journey that had brought him to their remote community. Smokes a cigarette while his companion remonstrates with the other driver. Something stirs under the tarpaulin covers on the back of the lorry. Alice's head peeps out and she hides away again. They arrive at the Lochside ferry and Tatishev gets on board to continue his journey south. Smoking a cigarette lugubriously on the deck of the ferry, Tatishev watches the ferry station draw into the distance. Suddenly, Alice appears on deck and steps forward with her luggage case. A ticket inspector comes by and Tatishev delves into his pocket for his ticket. The girl glances from the inspector over to Tatishev and gestures to him for some magic. Wave of his hand produces a ticket which he doesn't fully hand over to the inspector. The ferry arrives at the Lochside station. Alice draws the magician's attention to a poster for Edinburgh. Thumbing through the banknotes in his wallet, Tatishev goes over to the ticket office. In the train carriage, Alice slumps against the magician's shoulder with fatigue. The train arrives in Edinburgh Station, and the pair walk along the bustling streets to the town centre. Outside the music hall before they continue their way across town to a modest hotel. The hotel receptionist passes them their keys and leaves them to haul their luggage upstairs to their room. Go up to their room. A troop of male acrobats in tunics are limbering up the stairs.
Hey!
They stand briefly in the doorway to their room before going inside and inspecting it. Tatishev points to the sofa, indicating that he will sleep on it.
Moi? Là.
In the corridor outside, other festival performers are taking up residency.
Voilà.
Hop. One of them, a ventriloquist with ginger hair and a matching dummy, performs to Alice.
Oh, wir machen nur die Fette Schmuck, doch der Kasslauf, die Schmuck.
Downstairs, one of the performers introduces Tatishev to a pair of entertainment agents, and Tatishev shows them his poster.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Monsieur Tatishev.
Yes.
Oh.
agents escort Tatishev and Alice through the streets of Edinburgh to the music hall. Alice waits outside the building as the men go in. Alice wanders about, gazing up at the tall buildings and advertising posters for perfumes and makeup. In one shop window, a slender brown-haired mannequin is dressed in a fashionable chalk-blue dress. Two women pass by in high heels, and Alice turns from them to look at her own girlish shoes. The magician and the two agents exchange props outside the theatre impresario's office. The senior agent then enters the office, armed with Tatishev's poster and an imposing Cuban cigar. Impresario comes out to shake Tatishev's hand. Alice, meanwhile, treks up the wild and rugged hill that leads to Arthur's Seat, overlooking the city. She plucks a handful of wild flowers and looks back at the town's rooftops in the evening light. Back in the town, she lingers briefly outside a shop window to admire a white coat on a mannequin. She places the small posy of flowers into a jug at the hotel and goes to fill it with water from the bathroom tap. In the room above Alice and Tatishev, a clown is removing his makeup at a wash basin, his face covered with suds of soap. As Alice fills her jug with water, his supply dries up. Groups around forlornly for a towel to wipe the foam away and bangs his head on the wash basin. He gives up and instead uses the flower in his buttonhole to squirt water into his face. That night, Tatishev performs on stage in the music hall to a meagre audience. Alice is waiting for him outside the theatre. When Tatishev finally comes out, he catches her attention and she skips over to greet him.
Oh.
The girl rushes ahead of Tatishev, going from one shop window to the next until they reach the clothes shop, where the white coat is on display. With a gentle tug of his arm, Alice encourages Tatishev to pause for a moment and look at the coat. Back at the hotel, the clown is moping on his bed with his head cradled in his hands. He gets up and drags himself across the room to a gramophone player and puts on a record. He then heads over to an armchair, pours out a glass of whiskey, and puts on a comic red nose. In the room below, Tatishev is sorting letters and doing sums on his fingers. Alice lies blissfully asleep in her bed. A new day dawns over the city of Edinburgh, and Alice is already up and about, cleaning the room as Tattyshef stirs from his slumber. He gets up from the sofa and puts on the same crumpled clothes that he wore yesterday.
It's good, man. Pretty.
Alice watches as he backs away from her out of the hotel room. In the street outside the clothes shop, Tattyshef counts his money and puts it back into his jacket pocket. He lights a cigarette and deliberates a little longer before entering and purchasing the coat. Alice is still cleaning when he returns to the hotel room.
Hello.
Hello.
While her back is turned, he surreptitiously removes the new coat from behind his back and arranges it like a lining inside the sleeves and body of her old coat. Then he beckons her to put it on.
Alice?
She takes her apron off and obligingly puts on the coat. Tattyshef magically tugs the old coat off her back, leaving her standing in the new one.
Now the ghost show.
Alice rushes over to the dressing mirror in her room and waltzes around with the rabbit as a dance partner until it bites her.
Meal time. He can show me the big.
He first inspects her finger.
Ow.
Then the magician blows her pain away with a puff. Proudly wearing her new coat, Alice accompanies Tattyshef into town that evening. As they pass through the shopping centre, Alice spies a pair of elegant high-heeled shoes that match the white coat. Tattyshef's eyes widen and he pulls her away quickly. Alice notices a restaurant and eagerly pulls Tattyshef across the road.
This good man. Show.
They study the menu in the window by the entrance.
Ah, lapin!
Chow!
Lobster.
Chew it.
A wealthy couple arrive and wait to be let in. Tattyshef obliges by opening the door for them.
No.
Seated outside a fish and chip shop, Alice offers Tattyshef some of her chips.
Bon. Moi, passe. Moi, not magic. Oui, not magic. Moi, magicien.
Magic? Kitty chip?
Bon, je recommence.
They make a hurried exit to escape the piper.
Moi, par là, ok? Bye!
Tattyshef examines a small advertisement on a wall, leaving Alice waiting for him on the street corner. A car crawls by. Later, Tattyshef steals out into the night and tracks down a garage. He enters the office there, and after a brief conversation, shakes hands with the owner. Alice tires of waiting for Tattyshef outside the theatre while he is performing, and she sneaks inside the building. She he makes a way down to a corridor that leads to his dressing room door.
Then you stay?
She enters his room and regards herself in the new coat in his dressing mirror. A photograph is tucked into the frame of the mirror. Looking around the dressing room, she discovers a ribboned box containing white shoes that she was admiring yesterday. She slips off her red shoes and eagerly tries on the elegant new ones. She takes a few faltering steps in them, stumbling around initially until she acquires the practice of walking in them. Next door, a group of showgirls in feathers and high heels hurry out of their dressing room and swish past the girl. Alice makes her way out of the theatre and prances up and down the street in her new shoes. When the illusionist returns to his dressing room with his stage props, he notices that the present box has gone. Alice has abandoned her red shoes in the middle of the room and left the ribboned gift box empty. He slumps down into the chair by the dressing mirror. One of the photos that surround it is of a young girl of about Alice's age. He takes it in his hand and looks at her. Later that evening, as they make their way along Princes Street, a group of merry friends attempt to dance with Alice and Tatishev. One man spins her around in a jig, and she reels out into the middle of the road. Tatishev rescues her, warding off the traffic with his umbrella. Inside a pub around the corner, the clown is set upon by three young local kids. They shoot off when the police arrive. Back in their hotel room, Alice kisses Tatishev before going to her bed. Tatishev is already tucked up under a blanket on the sofa. As soon as she enters her room, he throws back the blanket and gets up, fully clothed, and exits the hotel. Blissfully contented, the girl falls asleep in her bedroom. At the garage across town, a man in overalls is on duty and a large American Chevrolet car pulls up. A man in a white suit with a neat Kentucky bow tie flashes a grin at the grubby mechanic. Tatishev. Puffing out cigar smoke, the American demonstrates how he wants the car to be cleaned. He hands Tatishev a wad of cash and leaves.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hagan will be back. Oh, my man.
Tatishev looks around at the unfamiliar equipment and goes over to the newest machine, which has two hoses attached. He presses a small red button. Lights flash, but the machine remains stationary. Sponge in hand, Tatishev goes over to the taps at a washing area, but nothing comes out. Returning to the machine, he picks up one of the hoses and examines the handset. As he lightly presses the trigger, the machine judders to life, squirting water into his face. He drops the handset to the ground, where it continues to writhe like a snake around his feet until he catches it with a firm stamp of his foot. He spies the second hose lying motionless on the floor. Tatishev picks it up and aims it at the car door and squeezes the trigger. A thick jet of oil squirts across the gleaming white paintwork. Tatishev wipes at it with his sponge, but smears the oil across a greater area. With a furrowed brow, he looks around the garage. As the rain begins to fall, he suddenly perks up. He takes the handbrake off and pushes the car back out of the garage down the gentle slope at the entrance. The rain begins to pelt down. And Tatishev hurries inside the garage, re-emerging moments later with an umbrella. He puts it up to shield himself, but it prevents the rain from washing the car. Instead, Tatishev gets inside the vehicle and sinks into the seat while the rain continues. It's dawn, and Tatishev lies slumped in the same position. The stain has been washed away. He awakes with a start and attempts to push the vehicle up the slope back into the garage. Abandoning his efforts, Tatishev moves over to the driver's seat and fumbles with the controls on the dashboard. The first button sends his seat back violently. He hits another button, which brings his chair back up slowly. The seat continues forward, pressing him against the windshield. Tatishev looks sheepishly at the approaching garage owner. He waves weakly and hits another button. The boot flies open, spilling a deck chair, beach ball, and sundry cases. The owner glares at him malevolently. Alice sits up in bed and rubs her eyes. While at the garage, the owner shakes his fists and bawls at the illusionist. As another mechanic moves the Chevrolet, the illusionist removes his overalls and hands them back to the owner. Alice searches the hotel rooms for the Tatishev. The ventriloquist enters, carrying his doll, and presents the girl with a recipe book. The dummy peers over her shoulder as they flick through the book. The illusionist peers in the window of a grocer's and enters.
Hi.
After looking around at the fruit and veg, his eyes alight on a string of sausages on the counter. Meanwhile, at the garage, the owner of the Chevrolet returns and, smiling, presses a wad of money into the mechanic's hand.
Here. Friday.
Back at the grocer's.
Right, that'll be it. He's showing us.
The illusionist fumbles for his cash, while at the same time at the garage, the boss finds a roll of notes in the discarded overalls and pockets it with a grin. Tatishev searches through his pockets, but finds only a few coins, enough for just 3 sausages. The girl is cooking back at the hotel. The illusionist enters, carrying his brown bag of sausages behind his back.
What's doing now?
She stirs a cooking pot whilst reading the recipe. She slaps his wrist as he makes to sample the food and gesticulates for him to sit at the table.
See?
He kicks the brown bag of sausages under the sofa and removes his coat. He ties a napkin round his neck as she pours stew into a bowl. She points to the ceiling and heads upstairs. The doll answers the door. Ventriloquist accepts the bowl and bows courteously. Downstairs, the illusionist sits patiently as the window suddenly blows open. He slams it shut and then peeks at the recipe book next to the cooker. The pages have blown over. His eyes widen in alarm, and he searches the room for the rabbit. Tatishev quickly sits down before the girl re-enters. She lifts the heavy cooking pot to the table and pours out the stew. The illusionist looks forlornly at the stewed meat.
Bon appetit.
Oui.
Tschüchtern.
Prompted by the noise from the room above, she gets up and fills another bowl full of broth, which she takes up to the clown. Standing on a chair in the middle of his room, a noose tied around his neck, and a large whiskey in his hand, he drains the glass empty. Downstairs, Tatishev is frantically searching under the furniture, his rabbit cage in hand. Alice returns, and they resume their meal. Tatishev stares mournfully at the stew and slumps in his chair. Just then, the rabbit emerges from behind the sofa, munching the string of sausages. Confused, the illusionist looks from the rabbit to the bowl. Then he sighs with relief and wipes his forehead with his napkin. Upstairs, the clown is now sitting on the chair enthusiastically slurping the stew. The ventriloquist has set up his dummy at the dinner table. The doll's head slumps over. He moves across and props it up into a lifelike posture, but moments later, it keels over again. Downstairs, the illusionist performs tricks for Alice, producing cutlery in one hand, then making it suddenly disappear. She giggles with delight. A wintry scene around Edinburgh Castle, with bare trees and people in great overcoats, transforms into midsummer. The foliage is lush and green. People wear short sleeves and play badminton. At the hotel reception, the clown is checking out. He pays the owner and leaves. The trapeze artists come bounding down the stairs.
Hey!
One of them hands over a business card to Tatishev. Shortly after them, Alice serenely descends the stairs. She's dressed immaculately in a blue summer dress, white gloves, and matching stilettos. She takes his arm to escort her out. At the entrance to the music hall theatre, the girl looks pleadingly at the illusionist. He magically produces a coin from behind her ear. She takes it, waves, and goes down the street as he enters the theatre. Inside, the theatre manager takes down the illusionist poster from his dressing room door. Band members cavort past him. Tatishev slowly descends the stairs. The manager shakes his hand and gesticulates at the packed baggage at the door. He hands Tatishev a single banknote. On the high street, the girl stops outside a boutique. A mannequin in the window models an identical blue summer frock, white gloves, and white shoes. A girl in dowdy clothes stops and gazes admiringly from the mannequin to Alice. The illusionist alights from a taxi with his stage props in a suitcase. He hesitates on the street before entering the pawnbroker's. Moments later, he exits the shop without his suitcases. His eyes are caught by the sad-looking ventriloquist doll sitting in the window with a price tag of £3. Back in the dark hotel room, he stares at the business card for Publicitex and picks up the phone. The boss nods to the secretary, taking his call.
Thank you.
Daylight fades, and the Edinburgh cityscape turns dark and misty. Tatishev sleeps through to the morning. He slowly rises, shakes his head, and shivers. Tatishev half-heartedly attempts some physical exercises, but collapses backwards onto the sofa and curls up beneath his blanket again. The rabbit appears and hops onto his chest. The illusionist emerges from the hotel into the cold morning air. The acrobats arrive to clock on at Publicitex. After clocking on, each one somersaults away. Tatishev enters, round-shouldered, forlorn and tired. He yawns in the vestibule area and looks around. The company is run from a factory building that has been repurposed. The Publicitex office has been refurbished by a designer, but the shop floor that it looks down onto is old and dreary. Tatishev finds his clocking on card and passes it through the machine. The manager paces his office while the trapeze artists assemble the ropes and pulleys over a huge billboard poster of a woman selling soap. The painting is partially incomplete. The trapeze artists begin to swing forwards and backwards in front of the canvas. Tatishev whistles for attention and throws paintbrushes into the air. The acrobats catch them, and as they fly by, they splash paint over the unfinished parts of the image, completing the portrait of her face.
Hey! Yeah.
Tatishev picks up a large brush on a pole and plunges it into a paint bucket. He paints on lips as the finishing touch to the poster. As an encore, Tatishev then improvises some magic tricks with a paintbrush and the mop for the audience of acrobats. The Publicitek's manager becomes excited as he watches the performance below.
Ha ha, that's it! Call his agent!
Back in the hotel, Alice knocks at the room where the clown stayed and waits for a response. A man and a woman arrive and have taken the room. Alice returns to their empty apartment and wanders around with time on her hands. She goes over to the window and looks across the street. A casually dressed young man sits in a room on the opposing apartment block. His feet are propped up on the window ledge as he reads from a book. Becomes aware of her presence and looks up, catching a glimpse of Alice as she retreats back from the window. In the Publicitek's office, the manager, Tatishev, and Tatishev's agent conclude their discussion with a handshake. Traffic through the town continues from morning to night. Come the evening, Tatishev is performing in the window of an upmarket department store, Jenner's. For this performance, he's dressed in a smartly pressed candy pink suit. A crowd of women shoppers have gathered around outside the shop window. He improvises magic tricks with the shop's merchandise to the delight of the audience. Tatishev holds up items of female clothing, then takes out a silk handkerchief to cover them. As he removes the handkerchief again, the clothes have transformed into a bottle of expensive perfume. Alice enters the store and makes her way round to the back of the showcase window. She attempts to interrupt Tatishev, but he pushes her aside. Inside the department store, after the performance, Tatishev is ushered into a waiting car with the agent, who's holding Tatishev's performance suit.
Taxi! Hey!
No.
Alice approaches them, and Tatishev gives her some money, then continues about his business, accompanied by his agent. They drive off, leaving Alice standing in the street. Stands motionless watching the taxi leave, then goes back into the department store. The atrium of the store is wood panelled, and there are display cabinets all around. Alice notices the young man from across the street in the store. He feigns interest in some watches on the jewellery counter. She catches his eye and coyly turns away. The young man tentatively approaches her, and they have a brief conversation. She crosses over to the jewellery department, where a sales assistant shows Alice a necklace.
Oh!
Alice optimistically shows the assistant the single coin that Tatishev gave her, but the assistant speedily retrieves the jewellery back from her. The illusionist is in another shop, performing to a few gentlemen. Bottles of exclusive whiskey line the walls. His agent watches as Tatishev performs a variation of his trick of filling glasses with wine. This time, it involves emptying a dram of whiskey. He returns home in a tipsy state with the assistance of his agent, who has taken care of the pink suit.
No.
The agent leaves in the taxi, and Tatishev staggers into his hotel. He's greeted by the receptionist, who's cleaning the foot of the stairs.
Hi.
Bonsoir.
The tall magician teeters around the lobby and edges his way up the staircase awkwardly. He lurches into his room and collapses onto the sofa. Tatishev gets up, steadies himself on the table, stubs out his cigarette, and makes his way across to Alice's bedroom door. She's in a deep, contented sleep. The rabbit hops out from under her bed and joins Tatishev. The next day, Alice gets up and finds Tatishev fast asleep on the sofa with the rabbit snoozing on his gently undulating lap. Outside the hotel, Alice meets up with a young man again. A new day at Jenna's department store, and the agent is waiting there with Tatishev's pink suit in hand. Tatishev phones him from the hotel.
Yes!
Allô? Oui, je voulais... Non, terminé.
Alice and the young man spend the day wandering about. Sometime later, they enter a pub. Over in the far corner of the bar, the ventriloquist is talking to his puppeteering hand, still animating it as though his companion were there. Tatishev eventually arrives at the department store. He finds another magician already performing in the shop window, who's dressed in baggy pink Ottoman-style trousers with a plumed hat and a medallion. Tatishev stares in amazement at his replacement, then turns away from the department store and carries on walking down the street. A sign in a shop window catches his eye. It reads, "Could it be war?" Looking up, he notices Alice and the young man heading in his direction. Tatishev conceals himself behind a clothing rail laden with hanging hats and coats. Using the stand as a mobile screen, he edges along the street to the next doorway, taking refuge inside a cinema. He enters the auditorium and stands at the back of the audience as the film is halfway through playing. The actor on screen bears an uncanny resemblance to the illusionist. It is Jacques Tati.
Oh, il entre pas?
Tess and the young man wander along arm in arm. Tatishev cuts a forlorn figure as he walks along the empty streets. He pauses at the end of a dark alleyway where the ventriloquist is sitting on the floor, slumped over an improvised collection bowl, a pub ashtray. Tatishev throws him a coin and continues on his way. Have grown heavy with rain clouds. Tatishev is carrying the rabbit's cage up the steep hill that Alice had climbed when they first arrived in Edinburgh. He opens the cage and sets the rabbit free, then turns and makes his way back to the city. Later that evening, rain falls heavily over the town centre. Alice and the young man take shelter in the alcove of a shop window. In the background, a pair of mannequins stand naked like Adam and Eve, waiting to be dressed with the shop's merchandise. The young man strokes Alice's hair, then kisses her tenderly. Tatishev is waiting on the platform alone. Alice returns to the hotel room. On the table is a sealed envelope propped up by the ventriloquist's recipe book. She opens it and takes out a handful of banknotes and a letter. Traveling in the same train compartment as Tatishev are a girl and her mother. Tatishev chews at the end of a pen and makes notes in a book, while the girl draws pictures. Alice reads his short message to her. Magicians do not exist. She looks out the window of the hotel room at the grey Edinburgh skyline and her boyfriend waiting for her in the street down below. It's pouring with rain. Tatishev stops writing and examines the pencil in his hand. He improvises a trick to amuse the girl sitting opposite, who has lost her crayon. In the hotel room, Alice picks up her luggage case and exits. Down find in the street, the young man greets her and takes her luggage case. They shelter under her raincoat as they make off. Photo of the young girl and looks at it. Then, turning to the window, he watches the passing landscape recede into the distance. The lights of the shops and apartment buildings in the town centre of Edinburgh go out one by one over time. Television repair shop, the shop with the white high-heeled shoes, the store with the elegant white coat, and the pawn shop, where the ventriloquist dummy sits in the window, its price tag removed, and now offered for free. Even the bright lights surrounding the music hall's marquee are eventually extinguished. Photo that the illusionist carried on the words to Sophie Tatishev.
Passent les heures, passe mon cœur, à Paris comme ailleurs. Passent les jours, passe l'amour, le temps nous joue des tours.
Passe un bidule, un autre bidule, magicien manipule. Rien dans les mains, rien dans les poches, il nous prend pour des cloches.
Passe, passe, vieux Grégou. Camarde à ton cou, tu n'es plus de la fête. Passe, passe les dimanches, tes lapins dans tes manches, tu ne fais plus recette. Passe, passe mon vieux mec, et sois pas incorrect si elle te refuse un bec.
Passe l'enfance, l'innocence, la douce indifférence, le joli temps de vivre. Passe les jeux des jours heureux, les petits amoureux, car il est temps de vivre. Il va falloir, ma belle, apprendre à être cruelle.
Passe, je m'adresse dans les coulisses de l'extraordinaire. Passe, mon enfant, ton lapin blanc et ta rêve lunaire.
Passe l'artiste, allez, ne sois pas triste, la vie est un manège. Un tour de piste, adieu l'illusionniste, et roulez jeunesse.
Passe, passe, le corps s'efface, le cœur est tenace. Quand vient la dernière valse, on se veut roi, hélas. On triche et de guerre. Quel sale ton, Gaston qui fout le camp. Tant pis pour toi, tu as fait ton temps, tant qu'il faut que t'y passes. Rien n'y fera, ni l'or, ni village, le détour de passe-passe.
In London, who are standing on duty in the rain. The Scotsman propels himself across the ground in the style of Billy Boy.
Yeah. Woo.